The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
There was more violence last night in Northern Ireland. Water cannons were used for the first time in several years to quell further unrest on the streets in Belfast. All of this, all of these scenes, these awful scenes we are witnessing are happening as we approach the second anniversary of the death of Lyra McKee, the young journalist who, of course, was shot dead while covering a riot in the Creggan area of Derry 2 years ago. Lyra's sister, Nicola McKee Corner, joins me now on The Hard Shoulder. Nicola, we really appreciate your time and thank you so much for speaking to me on the show. It must be so difficult for you to be looking at this on the television.
It is very difficult because, you know, there's so many similarities between the violence that's taking place at the moment on our streets and the violence that was happening on the night that my sister was murdered.
I mean, how hard is it for you, you know, as someone who understands this society and these communities, to look at these young people? It's mostly young people. It's teenagers, a lot of them, out there committing this violence.
It is, yeah. It's very, very difficult because there is a better way. And Lyra kind of used her life to try and show that there's a better way, you know, where people need to be engaging in difficult conversations and how those difficult conversations are really important, but also how difficult conversations can save lives. And that's really what needs to be happening now at the moment. There needs to be a lot of very difficult conversations at a variety of levels within our society to put an end to this violence and also to put in place measures whereby it cannot be allowed to erupt like this again, because it's much more furious than even the violence that we witnessed on the night of the 18th of April 2019. And I fear very greatly that someone is going to lose their life.
When you're looking at those scenes on television, that's a genuine fear, because I suppose, you know, some unrest in some communities isn't abnormal at times in Northern Ireland. I suppose what was shocking when Lyra was killed was that someone just took a gun and indiscriminately started to shoot into the air, and you know, your sister was killed. You could see something similar happening again, that is the way things are trending.
Well, it's very difficult to know how it's going to go, but I can be almost 100% certain that anyone who was out observing the events on the night that my sister was killed, none of those observers would have ever have anticipated a gunman shooting in their direction. It would not have been anticipated, and no one can predict the actions of other people, and there's always the potential for things that maybe things will escalate beyond anyone's comprehension and can take on a life of its own, and could even be someone jumping on the bandwagon to create a situation to suit their own purposes and to suit their own needs. And that is where the difficulty lies. These situations are uncontrollable and no one can predict what is going to happen. And just like the night that Lyra was killed, no one expected that ever to happen. And yet here we are almost 2 years later and my sister is not with me.
When Lyra was killed, people talked, and politicians and policymakers and community leaders in the north talked about it as a possible watershed moment, you know, that work would be done and heads would be knocked together to ensure that these type of things wouldn't happen again. I mean, is it an indictment of those politicians and leadership in Northern Ireland that, as you said, 2 years later, it looks like we are back there again?
The politicians in our country really, you know, they should be leading by example. Good leadership brings people together. It doesn't divide them. And the actions of some of our politicians and the words that they've chose to use have been very divisive over the past number of weeks, if not months. And they really need to have proper and meaningful conversations with each other and lead by example. I mean, if people are refusing to speak to each other, if they're refusing to engage in meaningful conversations with others in authority, that's not very helpful and doesn't show a good example to society, and certainly not to our young people.
These young people who are rioting, I mean, have you a sense of what they're angry about?
I think for probably most of the young people, they're not really angry about anything. A lot of the young people are engaged in, some people might call, recreational rioting. They are out for excitement. They're out for entertainment. And I would say the vast majority of them have no idea why sections of the community are angry in the first instance. They're just using it as an opportunity to run amok and cause chaos and feel the buzz of the adrenaline as they engage themselves in antisocial behaviour and violence. And I would say for the vast majority of them, they haven't a clue why they're doing what they're doing.
The fact that people, young people, are willing to engage in recreational rioting, then whatever the causes might happen to be, or the reasons for other people, I mean, that's a symptom, is it, of neglect and poverty and social deprivation, is it?
Well, I would say on the one hand, yes, it is an issue that I suppose is more prevalent within socially deprived areas. But as well as that, we do have the issue that these young people are being sent out onto the streets to cause this mayhem. They're being sent out. I have seen messages that have been forwarded to me from other people whereby young people are getting messages to congregate in these areas, and they're getting messages to engage in disturbances, and there is a level of organization and orchestration behind some of what's going on. And then you have other young people that just go along, unfortunately, for the crack.
You mentioned Lyra and her advocacy for a better future for Northern Ireland, and again in the wake of her death, that's what a lot of people talked about, that she would become a symbol for this better future. And there's murals painted of her, and there was murals painted of her here in Dublin as well, talking about that better future. I mean, are we any closer to that better future, or are we as far away as we've ever been?
I think that if our leaders use this opportunity as a wake-up call for what happens when they don't constructively engage with each other, if they don't use it as a wake-up call, we could go backwards, I fear. On Monday, we have erected billboards in the city where Lyra was murdered, and the billboards have a picture of Lyra and her own words, which say, "Here's to the end to bombs and bullets once and for all." We had no idea when we organized these billboards to go up that this violence would erupt. But I think it's very poignant that our billboards going up have actually coincided with this kind of violence going forward, because I do believe Lyra is still a symbol of hope and a symbol of what we were all promised as the peace process began, and that if this violence is viewed correctly, that the politicians will actually do something to quell the disturbances, to engage with people who are disaffected within our communities, will get on the ground and actually do something to assist them to be more productive members of society. It's really important that they take the opportunity to do that. They must. We can't go backwards. This is just not on. We cannot have more of our wonderful young people full of promise, full of ambition, full of potential, having their lives ruined for nothing. For nothing. What did my Lyra die for? She didn't die for anything. She had her life stolen from her. And it is absolutely unacceptable that no one has learned anything, not only from the 30 plus years of the troubles that we've had to live through, but no one has learned anything from the events of nearly 2 years ago where my sister was killed, where we had the First Minister standing in the place where she was killed saying, identity should not matter, basically, whether you are Protestant, Catholic, Unionist, Nationalist, we all need to work together for a better Northern Ireland. And our politicians seem to have forgotten the message that they tried to present at the time of our Lyra's murder. And they need to remember it. And I hope that they use this very sad state of affairs as a wake-up call and a reminder for what could happen if they don't do something about it.
I mentioned we're approaching Lyra's anniversary, the anniversary of her death, and I know you've just launched the Family Justice for Lyra, this campaign. Can you tell me about it?
Yes, so we just felt that we had to launch a campaign for justice for Lyra because the person who shot her is still walking free. The person who shot her is still living their life, and the person who shot her still hasn't been brought to justice. And we are hoping that people who do have information that could lead to the arrest and conviction of the person responsible for stealing Lyra from us will bring that information forward to the right authorities so that we can have justice for Lyra. Because when they killed Lyra, they didn't just kill her, they killed my mummy, and they have traumatized my family, and they need to take responsibility for what they have done. If they're brave enough to go out into the street with a gun, then they should be brave enough to and man enough to hand themselves in. It's just not good enough.
Nicola McKee Corner, Nicola, thank you very much for speaking to us on The Hard Shoulder.
Thank you very much for speaking to me. Take care of yourself.